You guys ready? Yeah? Let's do this. Let's pray and seek the Lord together. Father, we come into this room tonight, Lord God, asking you to move in this place, Lord God. Lord, you know everything that we're wrestling with, every struggle, every temptation, every hardship, Lord God. There is nothing hidden from your eyes. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would move and have your way in this place, Lord God. As we look at Joshua and the life of Joshua, and we talk about being penned and Israel being penned for all the things in which you had planned for them, Lord God, we are your church, and you have things penned for us and places for us to go. And so, Lord, pray that you would just have your way. For we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen. So I'm an Android user. I don't know if anyone else in the room is an Android user. Anybody else Android? All right. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Christian, I knew I liked you for a reason, man. No, anyway, but like, so my wife is an iPhone user, and like, she's going to be getting me an iPhone because she's the one that's in control of all that stuff. Ladies, you know how that goes. And so she's gonna be getting me an iPhone when my phone comes back up. So I don't think you can pin anybody with an Android, can you? You can? Someone's got to show me how to do that then later, because I didn't think I could do that. But I knew you could pin people with an iPhone, right? And so when you pin somebody, like, what does it mean to pin someone, right? When you pin someone, you are saying, hey, where I am, I want you to be there, right? So like, here's where I am. You're trying to find me. Let me pin myself so you know where I am at, right? And so you can get to where I am. And there are moments in our life in which God pins for us. Not that God isn't always with you, not that he's not everywhere present, not that he's not in every moment, not that he's not working on you in every second of every day, not that he doesn't have, you know what I mean? But there are moments and there are places that he wants us to go, and in order for you to get there, you gotta trust him, amen? So he sends you a pen. He goes, I'm here, are you willing to meet me there? But sometimes in order to meet God, the places where he pins us, there's things we gotta give up. And we don't deal well with that because we like to hold on to our stuff and our things and our emotions. For some of you, God might be pinning you to forgive somebody. Amen? Right? And you're like, not them. And God's going, in order for you to get to where I want you to go, there's going to be some things you have to let go of. Amen? And that might mean forgiving this person who may not deserve to be forgiven. But in order for you to be free, you got to let it go. So Israel, right? We know the story. God pins Israel in Abraham. Remember? God goes to Abraham and says, I'm going to make you a mighty nation, right? Abraham is good as dead. His wife, Sarah's like 90, 100. You know, she's old, right? And she's going to have a child, and like, he's the promised child, and Abraham, and God tells Abraham, listen, I'm pinning you to go to this place that I'm going to prepare for you and prepare for your people. You're going to be a mighty nation. All the nations will be blessed through you. Like, all the promises that Abraham told, all the promises that God told Abraham is happening in Joshua's day. Right? Those things are coming to fruition, and they ultimately are fulfilled in Jesus. Amen? So God pins Israel way back then. And Israel's got to go through a journey to get to where they are. And if you remember, there are some people. So Moses, are you guys with me so far? Yeah. All right. So Moses, who represents the law, never enters the promised land, right? Paul said this, by the law, no flesh will be justified. So by the law, no flesh, none of us can make it into the promised land in which God has for us, right? Moses, who represents that law, he himself does not enter the promised land, right? Cana, he doesn't enter it, right? But God's Joshua, Yeshua, which is Jesus' name in Hebrew, leads God's people into the promised land. Interesting. Isn't it awesome that the gospel can be found in the Old Testament like that? So If you remember, the people of Israel are grumbling, complaining, right? They don't trust. They're sent out to say, hey, go see if we can overtake this land, if God's giving it to us. Two people come back, Joshua and Caleb, remember? And Joshua and Caleb are like, God is giving it into our hands. The rest of them are like, I don't know, man. There's some big people up in there. Like, I don't think we can take them. You know what I'm saying? Philistines. 9 feet tall, bro. I'm 5'6". I couldn't even imagine going up with my shoes on. I'm 5'6". I'm like 5'5", right? Like, I claim 5'6" because my shoes are usually on. But like 5'5". Like, I couldn't even imagine that. So like the fear that's going on in Israel, maybe there's some real fear there. But like, God just parted the Red Sea and you walked across on dry land. He drowned the whole Egyptian army. Like, do you not think that he can take care of those stupid Philistines? There are places that God wants you to go. And in order for you to get there, there are going to be people, there are going to be things, there are going to be giants that God wants you to go up against because he's already given you the victory. Amen? But those people doubted that God was going to give them the land. So they have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But those people had died, Moses has just died, and Joshua's got the whole Israelite people with him. And God says to Joshua, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, bro. Right? And Joshua's like, let's go. So here we go. You guys ready? Joshua chapter 3, let's do it. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he had all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan. We're going to pass over that word. And they lodged there before they crossed. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. That's like 3/4 of a mile. So pretty good distance. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves. That word consecrate means sanctify, set yourself apart. Like, what God's getting ready to do, you got to be set apart for the journey in which he has for you, right? So that's what he's saying. He's like, you got to consecrate yourself. There can be no other journey before your eyes. There can be no other thing in which this is it. This is it. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Do you ever think that possibly the reason why a lot of you in this room maybe see God move a lot, but some of you in this room haven't seen God move in a long time. And is it possible you haven't seen God move because you haven't consecrated yourselves onto him? And you haven't prepared yourself to walk into the places in which he's calling you? Because this one thing I know about God is that he wants you to know him more than you want to. God wants you to know him more than you want to know him. Look, God is never, he's always calling to you. We're the one that's always like, I don't have time for that. And Joshua spoke to the priest saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite, and the Mosquito Bites. I'm shooking. It's a lot of ites in that passage. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from each tribe. It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth, rests in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan, with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest, the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap, a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside. Yeah, sorry. They skipped that word. And those which were flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. Is that it? And the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. I think that's it. Okay. I think it's interesting that God doesn't stop the river from flowing until the priest's feet hit the water, right? Because, look, we like to think we're like good with doing what God wants us to do as long as he just starts doing it before we do anything. You know what I mean? Like, God, you just start doing what you do, and then once I see you doing that, then I'll act. And God is going, no, we're acting in tandem. When you step in the water, that's showing that your faith is willing and ready to go into the land in which I've given to you. Amen. Or conquer the situation in which you're going, in which you're in. Or doing the, like you have to take the step. Amen. When I was a new Christian, this only happened to me one time, and this is going to be like crazy sounding and insane and like all that stuff, but like, I had this inclination in my soul. So I was going to a college, and I'll never forget this because it's never happened again. It's never happened again. But there was this person who was blind sitting on this bench far off, and I saw them sitting at this bench, and I just felt in my soul that God wanted me to go pray for their sight. Now, that's crazy. Leading up to that, though, I had prayed over vehicles, and they had started. I had done like other, like I, God was showing me that He would prevail. Right? He had been showing. You ever done that before? Listen, that happened to me recently. But we're in the car, and like my car won't start, and my son's sitting next to me, and I was just like, we're gonna pray, Alden, and he's like, okay. And so I'm like, dear Lord, please let my car start. And then boom, start right up. My son literally was like, yo, and I was like, I know, right? Yeah, my God's. Oh, anyway, But you know, praying for someone's sight is different than praying for my car to start. You know what I mean? So like, so I did what you probably have done this before. So I did the thing where I'm like, okay, God, if they're still there when I walk around and come back, I'll pray for them, you know? So I walked around and came back and they're still there. So I was like, God, I really will know it's you if I walk around the second time and they're still there. So I walked up the steps and around, and I took like a really long time, and I came back around. They're still sitting there. So I was like, Lord, if it's really you, let me do it one more time. I did that until they weren't there anymore. And I've never been asked again. Now, I'm not saying that God won't ever ask me again, but I am saying in that moment I was disobedient. Because faith takes you and I making a step before God does. God's going, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm giving you the promised land. I mean, he literally tells Israel, I'm giving it to you, right? But you have to take possession of it.
I'm gonna fight everybody that's there. I'm gonna destroy the people that are before you. I'm gonna move them out so you can come in. Like, I'm giving you this land. But priests, you gotta step in the water, otherwise it ain't going nowhere.
I don't know what it is that you, listen, your unbelief, my unbelief can keep us from the things in which God has for us. It's just true. You and I, when we walk in unbelief, is keeping us from the thing in which God has for us. So there are things that God wants to do in you. There are things that God wants to do with you and through you. But our unbelief is keeping us from that. Let me prove it to you. Remember when Jesus is going into a city and a town and says he wasn't able to do certain miracles because of their unbelief? It wasn't that God couldn't do it. It wasn't that he was unwilling to do it. It was that they didn't want him to do it. And how many of that is us? Listen, you have to operate. Look, for some of you in this room, this is like a message you've heard a gajillion times. Maybe you've heard it here. Maybe, I don't know, right? You've heard it a lot, maybe. But you know what? There's a lot of things in the Bible you hear over and over and over and over again. Amen? I don't think we ever move past this. Because every moment of my life is a moment for me to have faith or have unbelief. To believe or not to believe. And there is something in your life right now that God is asking you to believe that you're going, I don't know if I can trust you there, Lord. I trusted you here, but I don't know if I can trust you there. Because you know what was going on through my mind when he wanted me to pray for that blind girl? It was like, what if it doesn't work? Right? Because then you're like, look, if someone's car doesn't start, so what? If I pray for someone's eyes to see and it doesn't happen, I look like an idiot. And I don't know if I'm okay with looking like an idiot, Lord. And God's like, bro, sometimes, look, you look like an idiot anyway. You might as well look like an idiot for me. Maybe you can relate. What's amazing about these two people that exist for a little while, because remember, it's 38 years, 40 years those people died off and God was able to get them into the promised land they were going, right? Amen? So for 38 years, two people existed, the unfaithful and the faithful. Right? The unfaithful constantly were going, God, we are hungry. God gives them bread, manna from heaven, manna, right? By the way, just a little caveat here. Once they enter the promised land, bread stops. Why? Because they can eat the food of the field. And God's like, you're welcome, right? No more bread from heaven. As soon as they enter the land, God's like, eat it, man. Land flowing with milk and honey. Eat it up, right? So God's providing for them in the wilderness for 38 to 40 years, right? Bread coming down from heaven. Then they get sick of the bread, remember? They're like, oh, this stupid bread. Which is crazy in and of itself. Listen, if I walked up in the morning and God was like, hey, I'm gonna provide bread for your family. When you go outside, there's gonna be something on the ground. Pick it up and eat it, right? I'm grateful for that every day. You know what I'm saying? Especially if I'm starving to death. I say that, maybe I wouldn't be. You know what I'm saying? Because I probably wouldn't be. Anyway, it's like, I can relate to them. Maybe that's a better way of saying that. But like, then they're like, hey, give us meat. We want some meat. God sends them quail. Birds are falling from the sky. Now listen, if birds are falling from the sky around me, I'm not eating the bird. Right, because I'm spitting this way, I'm sorry. My automatic thought is, what happened to this bird that it just fell from the sky? Because that's not normal. Birds are supposed to fly, right?
But they're eating the quail and they're living, which is good. There's two people that exist in this passage, or through those 38 years, the believing and the unbelieving. To the unbelieving, complete, constant grumbling and complaining. Listen, there are things that God is doing in your life, but because of your unbelief, you can't see it. Your eyes aren't open to it. You're not seeing all the things that God is doing before you. You don't even know how good you have it, right? But because of your unbelief, it's hindering your vision of God. It's hindering everything that God's wanting to give to you, everything that God has given to you, right? And you get caught up in the grumbling and complaining. Why? Because of unbelief. But to the people who are believing, man, that was God's provision. Because it's a different way in which you see when you have faith. Faith opens your eyes to see the things that God wants you to see. To see the victory before you. Faith believes what's beyond it, not what's in the moment. To those who are believing, they're like, you know what all this food is for? It's because we're getting ready to go into the promised land. That's what this food is for. To the unbelieving, they're like, you know what this food is for? It's so God can keep us alive for 40 more years and destroy us. Different verse, different view. Different view. So 2 points for us. For those in unbelief, it was a journey of correction and rebuke. For those of us in unbelief, it was a journey of correction and rebuke. God was going, you didn't trust me. I was giving you the land before you, and you didn't take it. You didn't trust me with it. And so now you're going to have to go through a time of correction and rebuke. Ever been there with God? One person. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for your honesty. It was like, yeah, preach it, brother. I've been there. I'm there right now. No, I was there this morning. They didn't have my latte yet. Sorry about it. Anyways, I'm just joking. But it was a journey of correction and rebuke. And maybe you're there. Or maybe you've been there. Because the hope that God has for you when he does that is that you repent and believe. That you come to your senses. But remember what they were saying? They were going, it was better when I was in Egypt. And what? You were a slave. Like, you were being mistreated and abused, and like, Pharaoh killed like your children. Like, do you not remember? And they're like, it was better for us when we were in Egypt. It was better. You know? But how many of us have done that? How many of us have looked at God and gone, God, it was better when? But for those who are believing, for those who had faith, it was a journey of growth and strength. Depends on how you view it, right? The circumstances you're in, the things you're going through. For some of you, you're looking at the things in which you're facing and you're going, you know what? Now, God promised me that he will be with me, that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Jesus promised me that in this world I will have trouble, but take heart, for he's overcome the world. And if he's overcome the world, I've overcome the world because he's in me. Amen? So it depends on how you view your circumstance. Because when you view it as an opportunity for growth, God's going, I'm going to use that circumstance, and I'm going to use it to teach others. I'm going to use it to teach you things about who I am. I'm going to use it so that you grow in your understanding of me. Because what they were experiencing in that 38 years, all the people had faith, all they were experiencing was God will provide every time. That's what they were learning. That's how they were growing. And they were growing in strength, and they were growing in their knowledge of who God was. And they were growing in their faith. So those priests didn't stop at the bank and go, I wonder what's going to happen. We're not told that. All we're told is they put their foot in the water. What is it that God is wanting to do in you?
and wanted you to three. Listen, there are dreams and there are things that God has placed in you that are specifically for you. And you can either wander the desert in unbelief, or you can get ready for the promised land. Now look, ultimately, this is about Jesus. Amen? The whole Old Testament, the whole Bible is about Jesus. It's all about him, right? So the promised land is coming for us as Christians. Amen? But you can either waver in unbelief while you're here, or waver in belief. Or not waver in belief, or be in belief while you're here. You don't want to waver in belief. That'd be bad. It's like, I believe, I don't believe. No, but listen to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 through. He's talking about this very situation. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. What rest? God's final rest, his eternal rest, the rest in which he has for all believers, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. What same example? The example of the Israelites who wandered in the wilderness. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, our faith. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Would you have that Hebrews 3 passage? Did I give you that? Maybe I didn't. I didn't give that to you. Okay. In Hebrews 3, it talks about how they didn't enter that rest because of their unbelief. But we don't have a high priest we don't have a God who can't sympathize with us. We have one who can sympathize with every one of our weaknesses, yet is without sin. So you can't go to Jesus and go, Jesus, you don't know what it's like to wander in the wilderness like I do. You don't know what it's like to be tempted like I am. You don't know what it's like to have the struggles and strifes that I do. And Jesus can look at you with that loving voice and go, are you sure about that? I don't know what that's like. Hebrews 11, 6, or 3, there it is, yeah. Hebrews 3, 4, I did have it, didn't I? Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Oh, my goodness. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. When? In the desert. As in the days of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they also go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren. Don't you love that word, brethren? Take care, brethren. That there not be any one of you, an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Let's just stop there. He says, see to it that you, brothers and sisters, don't have an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Here's the danger, is you and I can fall away from God. And maybe some of you are there. You would never admit it, right? Because you're here. So you're putting on the Christian facade and you're putting on the Christian verbiage and you're coming into this moment and you're acting the part, but you're like, really, Lord, though? Like, I'm not there. I'm not really there. And listen, sometimes you gotta fake it till you make it. I'm not saying there's not a place for that. I'm not saying you don't like try to just keep doing the things you know you ought to do because you know it's the things you should do, amen? But there's a difference between that and like just being in unbelief. So are we going to be like those who are in unbelief and have God constantly correcting and rebuking us? Or are we going to be the ones who have faith and trust God with the journey and grow and strengthen and grow and be strengthened by his grace and his mercy? That's the option. There's only two options, unbelief or faith. That's it. That's it for you and me. No other option, faith or disbelief. Which one are we going to have? I saw recently, and I'll end with this, but I saw recently Russell Brand. You guys know who that guy is? Yeah, he's like, you know, he talks like this, right, because he's from Britain, and like he has all this, and you know, so like, yeah, and he's like, yeah, I totally became a Christian. Anyways, but so he became a follower of Christ. I don't know if you know this, but Russell Brand became a follower of Christ, and he said this, he said, and I thought it was really profound, but he said, I feel his presence all the time. He's like, but sometimes I let go and I take back hold of me. And in those moments, I feel very distant from God. And I'm reminded that I'm not him. And I take back hold of God again. I think that's a great articulation of the Christian life. Listen, our life as Christians is just a life of constant repentance and faith. Repentance, faith. That's it. The whole thing. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. like, you know, I'm not believing, I believe. I'm not believing, I believe. I'm not believing, I believe. Like that's, you know, and sometimes we are that moment of faith in other people, for other people. Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes you are the person who is showing people how to live that out, and other people see you and they go, man, I want to live like that. And sometimes you see other people, and those people are that for you. You know what I mean? Like when David stepped up to Goliath, all of Israel at that point is looking at this fight and going, it'd be like watching a train wreck. You know what I mean? There's nothing you can do to stop it, because 12-year-old homeboy David just goes out there with a sling and some stones, man. And he's just like, I'm going out. And he goes out there and all that. You have to be at that moment if you're one of his brothers being like, oh my goodness, this is going to be so good, dude. This is going to be so, David's going to get wiped out. Like, you know, you got to be thinking that because he's a little boy. You know what I mean? But what happens is, and David goes, I'm going to cut your head off with your own sword, bro. Like, this is how it's going to end for you. God is going to give you into my hands. And then I'm going to take your big sword and cut your freaking head off. Sorry, are you allowed to say that word? Some of you are like, no, I don't know, maybe. Then I'm going to cut your head off. So and the Philistines, listen, there are things that are happening in your life literally the things that are coming against you are looking and going, really? You think you can take me on? But you're going, you don't understand. There's this huge God that's with me, and he's going to deliver this circumstance into my hands, and I believe him to do it. And so David takes one. He had five stones, man. He had five stones. Homeboy just took one stone out. And we're not talking about like a sling where you're like, flipping. We're talking about like a, like, sorry, I'm spitting on you guys again. I'm so sorry. I'm coming over here now. But like, you guys can get some. Anyway, we are rebaptized. And sure. But like, so he's like, right? Lets it go, sinks into the Philistine's head. Then David walks over, takes his sword, cuts his head off, holds it up, puts his foot on his chest, and it's like, let's go, Israel. 12 years old. It had to be a 12-year-old because 12-year-olds are punks, man. Anyway, but it had to be a 12-year-old. It had to be a 12-year-old. Those middle schoolers, man, they are punks. Anyway, but yeah, but like, listen, there are people watching your life, and there are angels and demons looking in on what's going on. And there are things that are happening in the heavenly realms that we could never fathom or imagine. And when you stand in faith, the demons flee in fear. When you stand in faith, you have different eyes to see with. Because you don't see destruction, you see victory. Where other people go, I don't even know how you made it through that. And you're like, let me tell you how I made it through, man. So I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is that you got to trust God with. I don't know what it is that you're wrestling with. All I know is that God is asking you to trust him by faith. And just go, will you believe that I know things you don't know? And is it possible that I have you right where I want you? Because you go, that's impossible, God. Because this isn't where I want me. And God's going, you don't understand. I've penned for you a place to be that in order for you to get there, you have to go through all this garbage. But I'm going to provide for you on the way. And I'll leave you with this thought. In order for us to get where God wants us to be, we must trust ourselves to the God of the journey. In order for us to get to where God wants us to be, we must trust the God of the journey. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord God, we thank you Lord, forgive us, Lord God. Forgive us for the times, Lord Jesus, that we have doubted your goodness, doubted your love, doubted your faithfulness. Lord, help us to walk by faith. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our faith as the one man, Lord God, who said, if you can, you will, and you said nothing is impossible with God. And he said, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, that's our prayer tonight, Lord God. Help our unbelief. For we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus.